You can have all the Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio podcast with our new app. Just search your app store, Apple, Android, Kindle. We don't care what you use. Search the app store for Explorations Early Learning. Download the app. Give it a try. Welcome to Renegade Rules. Kick back, settle in, and let us fill your ear holes with early learning information, wisdom, and advice. And now, here's Heather and Jeff. Welcome to Renegade Rules. Jeff Johnson here with Heather Shoemaker. Heather, we're back with this is episode 44 of the Renegade Rule podcast. We've been at this a while. What are we going to talk about in this episode?
Well, I think it's high time we talked about willpower.
Oh.
Well, actually, I think we're talking about how we think we need to rely on willpower for many things, but actually we need to rely on other tools to help us through tempting things like picking up our phone all the time or checking that email again or.
So where are we going to dive in?
Well, we're going to talk about technology and developing good balance and good habits. I think this was sparked because someone said to me, but Heather, how do you get adults, because in my book, It's Okay to Go Up the Slide, I have a section on technology. And originally I was going to write all about, you know, how we can parent kids in technology and mm-hmm. they spend too much time on screens. Well, then there's really only two chapters, one to help the kids, but really the other chapter is to help the adults and how much our technology use interferes with our good intentions for good parenting and how it doesn't help us or our families. But as someone said, well, how do you, if you want to change this, how do we muster up enough willpower to change our technology use? And that got me thinking because we can't, no matter how noble we are, we can't rely on willpower to get this right.
No, I mean, changing anything, willpower, I mean, eating fewer cupcakes, and I mean, willpower doesn't go a long way for anything we want to change.
Yeah, you can have the cupcake on the counter and try to get your willpower strong, but hour after hour, day by day, as you walk by that cupcake, you will suddenly, you know, it takes so much effort to keep a very strong firewall of willpower up at all times.
Well, here's how hard it is. In the last episode that we recorded, you spent, it felt like 20 minutes talking about candy. It was probably about 15 seconds. And all I could think, I'm thinking about, man, when we're done recording, I can go have some candy. Because all day long, I try willpower, as in, hey, Jeff, don't think about candy. It just breaks down as soon as candy is brought up. Maybe I'm exaggerating a tad bit, but I mean, it's a hard thing.
Yeah, and some people will seem as if they have more willpower than others. You know, there may be a greater dose for some people,
uh-huh.
but even the strongest people that look like they are just have impeccable willpower, it's not about willpower. It's about developing new habits and new routines and being intentional in the first place to develop those habits. But we are creatures of habit,
mm-hmm.
and we are susceptible to breaking down our willpower. It's just the human nature. So when you're framing this question, when you're trying to look at your own use of technology and say, okay, I'm on Facebook too much. Okay, I can't put the smartphone away for 5 seconds. I can never turn it off. Whatever it is that's your issue that's bugging you or that people in your family are saying, you know, we don't see you anymore.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it may not be coming from you, but listen to these people. It's a hard thing to say to somebody that you care about is, I'm feeling ignored. Your face is in that screen all the time.
Yeah.
But this is essential for our relationships. So if you're feeling that there's something off balance, then don't rely on willpower to fix it. You're going to have to develop new habits because that's how the human brain works. I think there's a book about the power of habit or something. Well, there's books about it. But, you know, let's say you can start at night, for example. You can have the screen, the device, whatever it is that's your particular bugbear, out of your room. That's a good start. Mm-hmm. And then you can develop that habit at night. Then, so you're not sleeping in it. You're not going to wake up when you roll over in bed. You're not going to check it in case you get an email at 3 a.m. Or have a, it's a lot of people, a lot of adults, I think it's the majority of American adults now, we'd have to check that. They when they wake up at night, they check their devices for social media posts and updates and emails and texts. And some of them do it multiple times a night. So first thing you can do is give yourself a good night's sleep again and put the thing in another room. Maybe put it in a room that's really hard to get to where you have to climb stairs.
In a vault, that a time-activated vault that doesn't spring right. open until 8:15 in the morning when you're ready to walk out the door to right. go to work.
Then I think you can build off that. So if you've already got the night thing down, then you can start working on a habit of when the creature gets shut off before you go to bed. And some people don't ever like to turn them off, but you know, when it gets put in its dungeon mm-hmm. for the night. And one of the things we do in our family, and this is because based on research, the screens, even the light from the screens, stimulates and keeps the brain awake, is for children, anything that half an hour before going to bed, even if it's something very educational, my kids like to write books and they like to write them on the computer, you know, type it out because it feels fun to do mm-hmm. that. Well, but the glare of the screen isn't great for going to sleep. So anything, no matter how yay and educational it is, the screens go off half an hour before going to bed. And that's something that adults, I think we need to get into a routine of everybody in the house, or at least you can only really work on yourself, but it's nice to have company. Turn off, what is the time in the evening where you're going to turn it off? The screen goes away, you're going to get a better night's sleep, and then, wow, you have some evening back. Maybe mm-hmm. it's 45 minutes, but you have some evening time that you do things that you used to do before screens entered your life. And that's great emotional health, because it's most likely to be something either that you enjoy or that's relaxing for you.
Okay, so we're not sleeping with our devices and checking them at 3 a.m., and we're turning them off a little bit earlier in the evening and getting away from them. What else can we be doing?
Well, there's those sacred times. I mean, again, you can't do all these at once. I think it's good to be incremental. Uh-huh. But so meal times is a time where we need to create family routines of it's off or it's in another room, or if it rings, we don't answer it. Now, before phones got so exciting and full of screens and videos and potential for everything, when a phone was just a phone and it was connected to all these cords and wires, our family growing up had a rule that if the phone rang during dinner time, and this is before answering machines, so if someone phoned, we didn't answer it during dinner. Uh-huh. And so if somebody phoned, you wouldn't know who was calling. There was no caller ID. There was no message. You just ignored it.
How did we survive?
Well, it was a routine. But also the assumption was if it's important, the person will call back.
Uh-huh.
You know, this is the dinner hour. We're not going to answer the phone. So even back then, it was a temptation because, you know, you didn't know who was calling. Maybe it was super important. Maybe you just won some prize. You know?
Ed McMahon is going to be showing up with a giant cardboard check.
I mean, these days, it's probably a robocall telling you to buy something.
Exactly.
So it's not that important, but we... our brains, because it's unpredictable, we don't know when the calls will come. We don't know when the texts and emails will pop up. Our brains are sucked in to latch on to that. So there's times when we should be on, and there's times when we should be off. I like another aspect of physically covering a screen. I got this because when my parents lived in Japan when I was young, well, I wasn't that young because I wasn't in the house anymore. I was in college. Uh-huh. They went off. But they got into the habit of putting a cloth, a furushiki, over the TV because that's what they picked up from people in Japan.
Mm-hmm.
So they cover it up so that when it's not being used. And I do that with my computer and my other screens. It's a physical, I am creating a different space now, and you're not wanted, Mr. Screen. So you do something, some ritual, and once that cover's on, you can't see the screen, even if the screen's black and off. You can't see it. It's covered up by some pretty cloth, and you're focusing on other things. So there's lots of habits you can get into. When your work day is done, make it done. Turn it off. And if it's really important, you can deal with it tomorrow when you're fresh. There's no sense in worrying about something tonight. Now, of course, if you need emergency contact, there are some people that you want, you know, your mom or whoever it is, to be able to get through with important information. You know, make exceptions so that those people, you know, they can get through. But things that stress you out or work-related things, they don't need your attention at all times.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, not every email. One of the great things about technology is it saves and organizes and classifies things for you. So it makes it really easy to see what you missed while you were away from it. And so you can let your, you don't have to answer every email as it comes in. You can schedule, you can make it a habit to have an email time where you respond to the day's emails, and everything else can wait 24 hours.
Right.
And if you have a hard
time, the time at which you do that is important. For example, when I need to concentrate on books, writing books, uh-huh. I need hours of time where I'm not, little emails aren't coming in to fragment my brain, which they do. And so I make sure, instead of answering emails first thing in the morning, I use my best brain time for the work that I really need to do. And then when I'm feeling a bit brain tired, I can check in and do a whole batch of emails at once when I'm having a bit of a lull in all that brain activity.
Yeah.
So that's why when I give you an email, it's not necessarily the best rate of output.
Well, nothing we email about needs your best mind, Heather. Save that for the books. The habit thing can be so hard, and I get into this in a lot of the burnout presentations I do too, because there's a lot of crossover with the stuff we've been talking about, and one thing is the building of a habit is, I mean, literally you're rewiring your mind, you're rewiring an old habit,
and it hurts.
Yeah, it's uncomfortable and it's stressful, and that's just little things. And so when we start thinking about changing our relationship with technology, which for many of us is a big thing. I mean, right now I'm sitting here talking into a microphone that's hooked up to just on my desk. I've got a microphone and a mixing board and a big monitor and a desktop and an iPad and a desktop and my iPhone. All here on the desk. Our technology is such a big part of our lives that trying to build the habits we've been talking about for the last 13 minutes is tough. And in the reading I've done on this, one of the biggest things that we can do to when we're trying to build these new habits is not beat ourselves up when we have bad days. I mean,
right.
you can tell yourself that, you know, the habit is, and I'm not going to turn on the media after 8 p.m. Or whatever it is, and then you find yourself on Facebook at 10:30, beating yourself up and saying, "Well, I knew this wasn't going to work, and I can never change." Is the exact opposite of,
right.
of what you want to do.
Yeah.
You got to say, "Hey, this hasn't worked. I'm going to mess this up. I'm going to try again tomorrow."
Yeah, try again tomorrow is good, and it does take time, but it's tough, but it's essential, and I think, you know, the habits that we're developing with technology is it's emotional health, and it's how we're going to help teach our kids how to have emotional health, too. Just one example of how hard it is to, it can be exhausting. You might have to go to bed early if you're developing a bunch of new habits all at once, because it is exhausting. And just as an example, one of my oldest child decided to change his name 2 years ago. So we'd always called him one thing, and then he announced he had a new name, and he was serious about it.
Uh-huh.
So for me, as a parent, I had said his name, you know, even before he was born,
uh-huh.
multiple times. And then as a baby, you're always saying the name over and over. And so I'd said the name, I don't know, a million times.
Uh-huh.
And my brain had to be rewired to take care of his new name, and it physically hurt. I got headaches. But once I got through it, after a couple of months, once I got through it and had this new habit, then it was easy. Then it was routine. And that's true of no matter what we're trying to change. That we need. It can be tough, and take it easy on yourself. In his case, I said, I'm going to try and change your name, but I'm going to take weekends off. And because it's stressful for my brain, so bear with me. And then I went to one day a week off. And most of the time, even on my day off, I managed to stay with the program.
Uh-huh.
But, you know, it's not willpower, it's habit. And it takes a while to develop these habits.
Yeah, yeah. And the other thing, and you touched on it, is not trying to change too many things at once. Just those
right.
those baby steps. And one of the big benefits of that is you get one new habit taken care of. You get down to you're doing it consistently. You start building this habit of success. And once you overcome, you know, turning off the phone or not checking the phone at 3 o'clock in the morning, it makes turning it off in the evening a little bit easier. And then you start building this habit of being able to change your habits, and you get on a roll. I don't have the names of them in my head, but if anybody listening wants a couple good books on the whole habit change process, send me a message, because there's been a couple that I've read recently that I really liked and that are really accessible, because they're. I mean, a lot of the neurological research that's going on now is tied to this kind of thing, and there's actually some tools that you can use to make this process a little bit easier for you.
Yeah, we're learning a lot more how our brains can accept that. So I also wanted to mention a couple of things on, let's say you're turning your technology off earlier in the evening. Instead of making it a deprivation issue, oh my gosh, I'm missing this, I'm not going to be able to do that. Fill that void with something you really like doing. You know, make it a good thing. So this is not all about beating yourself up and having a horrible time. It's about eventually having a better life, a more content life. And the other thing is notice how you're feeling when you do something different with the technology. For example, Sunday mornings, we always just make life different. We eat pancakes instead of having more of a quicker breakfast. We have music on. We do certain things to make it once a week more special time. And I remember one time, I generally don't turn my computer on until late Sunday afternoon, if ever. But one week, I turned it on early in the morning on a Sunday, and I noticed afterwards that I felt more stressed and not relaxed and not content, and it didn't feel good, it didn't feel right.
Mm-hmm.
And when I thought, okay, well, I'm not going to turn that on a Sunday morning again. So just being in touch with, well, how did this make me feel? Am I feeling more content and pleased with the world because of what I just did? Or would I have felt better, you know, if I'd gone outside with the dog? So, checking in with yourself and saying, how did that just make me feel?
Yeah. Hmm. Yeah. And that's what the books I mentioned before, that's they get into that, is that self-awareness while you're doing the thing and paying attention to the emotional experience you're having with it can actually help with building the new habits. When you're doing the new thing and you're feeling proud of yourself for doing it and you're experiencing it, and it's turning off the phone at 8 o'clock meant more conversation with the actual people that were in the room with me. Those kind of experiences, attending to those things while you're experiencing them, actually helps with the building of those new habits.
Right. And, of course, one thing with screens is that it tends to block out self-awareness, because there's so much focus on whatever's going on in the screen world that that's why you get that glazed look.
Yeah, yeah.
People's necks are cramped over their phones because the rest of the world has disappeared, including how in touch they are feeling with their own feelings and thoughts.
Absolutely. Anything else we should throw in here to wrap up the episode, Heather?
Oh, I think we got that covered. In 20 minutes, everyone can change their lives, and it'll all be good.
Oh, life will be perfect.
It is tough, folks. but I think as more and more devices and technology comes, just it's easier to change a habit before it's even formed, a bad habit. So as something new enters your life, a new device, a new app, a new whatever it is that you think might shake things up a bit, be observant on what it's doing and then set limits, just like you would if you're at the sandbox and somebody's throwing sand in your eye and you don't like it. You got to notice you don't like something and speak up and set boundaries. It's all the same thing.
Yeah.
So be aware and notice and set boundaries on yourself and on your technology.
Hey, but don't set any boundaries on listening to the Renegade Rules podcast. We want that habit to stick with you. Don't break that one. We'll be back soon with another episode. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for sharing the show. Thanks for supporting the show. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Can't have our listeners abandoning us because they want to spend more time with their families, Heather.
Oh, come on.
Okay, I guess that would be a good thing. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with another episode. Music by Alexander Shoemaker. This has been an Explorations Early Learning Upstairs Studio production.
Oh.
Hey, you want to support all the Upstairs Studio podcasts? It's as simple as this. Use our Amazon link when you shop Amazon. We get a small percentage of what you spend. You don't pay any extra. You get your stuff from Amazon. Everybody wins. Where do you find the link? Well, it's on the Explorations Early Learning app. You can find it on the Explorations Early Learning website. And if you don't find it in those places, just get a hold of Jeff on Facebook or via email, and he'll hand deliver it to your inbox. Thanks for your support. Bye-bye.